You're listening to
V for Vertigo,
episode 61.
Something kind of vertigo going on here. I've been seeing fables in my dreams. I've been laying scalped out here for hours in this swamp in New Orleans. I've been reading spells from books of magic, trying just to help blaze trails to you. Feeling like a loser, so, so tragic. Feeling like I'm left to preach at fools. All the time spent moving, oh so slow. It's something kind of vertigo.
Hello and welcome to V for Vertigo, where I'm in the air everywhere, streaming on the vast world wide web. And this podcast is one man's journey into the world of all things Vertigo comics, because everything else is just picture books. I'm your host, Mark, ow, my elbow, Johnson, and this week's spoiler-filled review will cover Northlanders, The Cross, and The Hammer by Brian Wood and Ryan Kelly. And hello, everybody. I'm not 100% because my elbow, but I don't want to talk back because I don't want to make excuses and blah, 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 blah. Fuck you, LeBron James. Now, see, that... I don't know if I mentioned this. Probably did. We'll mention again. There's a reason why I don't like Brett Favre. And there's a reason why I don't like LeBron James. And it's for the exact same reason. They're a bunch of drama queens. Me, me, me. Selfish sons of bitches. And it's bad enough LeBron doesn't have that killer instinct. Or feels like he needs to work on his game. To be fair, he's like, you know, one of people that really don't. It just comes naturally to him. Naturally to him. He's a fucking freak of nature. But... I don't want to hear about your elbow. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of people making a big deal about it. Everyone's hurt. It's the playoffs. You play 82 games. You may have played in the summer, in the Olympics or in summer league, and then whatever playoff games you had last year and then whatever you got this year. Everyone's hurting. He's not injured. If you can't play, you're injured. So, there you go. Although, the best thing to come out of it was a Twitter account. LeBron's elbow. Funny shit. Yeah. Well, anyways, I'm gonna talk about Iron Man. I won't give spoilers. So if you haven't seen it, don't worry. Although, yeah, I don't know. It's very disappointing. Oh, my allergies are killing me, by the way. Iron Man 2 is not as good as Iron Man 1. Everyone said that. Everyone's saying it, and it's true. Now, while... I guess as a comic geek, I do kind of hate origin movies. But for whatever reason, Iron Man worked. There was a lot of tension. You got to see Tony Stark change. There's a lot of drama. The last action scene was rather... It's a lot better in the second one, but I don't know. It had more heart. It kept you involved. It started off with a bang, and this one kind of doesn't. But Iron Man 2 definitely has more action, which is cool, especially the last fight scenes between Whiplash and everything. But this is what I was worried about when it came to Iron Man in general, when I heard they were doing a movie about it. You're like, Iron Man? What villains does he have? Mandarin? Like Whiplash? That's about it, really? Can't really think of anything else, right? But since he's such an interesting guy, like Tony Stark, he makes for a better movie, which is why it works with Robert Downey Jr. But as a superhero movie, it works in the fact that it's probably the most realistic out of all of them. But, I mean, Whiplash, I'm forgetting his name. He did a good job. Dude, fuck it, what is his name? Mickey Rourke. It's just, you're like, really? Whiplash? That's no Green Goblin, that's no Lex Luthor, that's no Joker. That's the problem with Iron Man. And why? So they tried to build him up, and you still didn't care about him. There are probably two plots. Iron Man 2 really feels like a setup movie for the Avengers. Yeah, there were like probably one or two plots that kind of dragged it down or seemed convoluted. Some weird parts when Tony got drunk. And then Scarlett Johansson was probably the weakest character. She did an alright job. She's hot. But like, they were going to get another actor for her, but they couldn't because she was filming something. I don't really think it mattered what actor you got for that role. Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah. Black Widow, yeah. Keep an eye on you. They're not really spoilers. Come on now. So, I don't know. Definitely, I don't know if I can. I gotta get the first one on Blu-ray. But don't get your hopes up. And even the post-credits, stay till after the credits. Even the post-credit stuff is not as mind-blowing as Samuel coming at the end and being like, we're forming the Avengers Initiative. And you're like, oh, shit. And then you're kind of like, oh, shit. So, yeah, I don't know. I just didn't care as much. The second act did drag in this part. It's hard to say why. Was it the characters or too many plots? I actually thought the best thing about this movie, I know nothing about Whiplash except he looked kind of funny in his bulletproof armor in the comics, was the fact that, was the fact that he was also a genius and physicist. That was, like, you see this big-ass buff Mickey Rourke guy, and he's just as much a geek as Tony Stark. He's just like an evil version. That was cool. That was cool. But yeah. Even though, I don't know. What? Gwyneth Paltrow didn't really do it for me. She did alright job, but even Jon Favreau, Don Cheadle, like the secondary roles, they all performed fine, but I don't know. Did they seem less impassioned or something in the first movie? Although Don Cheadle wasn't in the first movie, so. I don't know. That is good. I did cross off one of my must-see movies of this summer, spring, whatever. So only two more to go. Predators and The Expendables. Can't wait for The Expendables. Hey, there's actually news this week, so let's talk about it.
Vertigo News.
So, remember Vertigo, the Vertigo crime line? Yeah, me neither. Kind of forgot about it. There are two more titles to the ever-growing list of the crime line. And one is called Rat Catcher. Yeah, I think of, what are those mouse books I read growing up? That's what I just thought of. Where he rode a motorcycle. I think the mouse name was Ralph. Beverly Cleary? Was that a Beverly Cleary book? I don't know. Anyways, Ratcatcher by Andy Diggle of The Losers and artist Victor Ibanzi. No, whatever. Okay. It's about, it doesn't star a mouse. It's about an undercover FBI agent and a notorious mob hitman. And they become involved in a thriller with a twist that keeps the action moving and the characters playing a high stakes game of cat and mouse. That's very cliched that I just read. I didn't write that, by the way. And then the second one, Noche Roja. Now that seriously is the name of the title. I'm just probably butchering it three times. And that is a timely and explosive mystery by Simon Oliver. That's not a very Spanish name. And our artist Jason Latour. And in this one, the murders of young women just south of the Mexican border hide a deeper and darker corruption that Retired private investigator Jack Cohen becomes determined to expose if it's the last thing he ever does, which it may be. Very ominous. Again, very cliche. At least the way that sounds. I don't know. That's a terrible title. First of all, Noche Roja. And Rat Catcher can be a terrible title. I'll have to see the covers. Which will be by Lee Bermejo in 2011. So look for that in 2011. Now, the second bit of news. Man, you know, I'm not going to lie. It's been about a year for Vertigo's Crime Line, right? I have very little interest in it. I had more interest in interviewing Carrie Burger. I'm just not a big crime guy. And I don't know. I do want to catch one or two of them out, but overall. And then I haven't heard exactly flowing things about them. So, but they're still pushing it. Yeah, it's like a crime line. Vertigo is very mundane these days. I don't mean mundane as in, well, mundane. I mean mundane as in story-wise, there seems to be less supernatural, less magic. I mean, for the current series, if you just look what I'm covering today, Northlanders, no magic. The Unwritten there is, Fables there is, Air there is, DMZ there's not, Vertigo Crime Line, I guess for most of them there's not, what else was, Day Trippers, I haven't read that, but I don't think, well, that's not ongoing, well, whatever, Day Trippers is not, there are other ones, but overall, well, anything recent, like Fables has been going on a while. But basically the Unwritten and Air. That's it. That's very disappointing. So, to the second story. Coming from the popular Endless characters from Neil Gaiman's The Sandman, they're back as children in the highly anticipated follow-up to the Little Endless Storybook, written and painted by multiple Eisner Award winner Jill Thompson, who's done Scary Godmother, Magic Trixie, and others, and who's married to Brian Azzarello. Oof. That's another book with no supernatural elements. She's doing a story called Delirium's Party. Actually, this sounds interesting. I may have to get it. It's a little endless storybook that brings together all of the endless siblings. Together in an effort to break despair of her unhappiness. Wait. Yeah. Huh. Well, I don't know when this takes place. After Sandman or somewhere in the middle. It's drawn and watercolored by Thompson. Huh, is it written by Joe Thompson? Let me see if I can get her on the show. I'll be like, yo, you're pretty hot. Why don't you leave her? I got no game. Okay. Let me see. What else is there? I'm tempted to get the first Little Endless Storybook. But I think this is one of those where, I don't really need to go in order. And to be fair, it really depends on what that one's about or who's it starring. So, yeah, I'm interested in that one. So out of those, out of Ratcatcher, Noche Roja, and Delirium's Party, I'm interested the most in Delirium's Party because she's probably my favorite endless. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Destiny's the coolest. She's probably my favorite. And that's all we got for the news.
And now it's time for the rundown.
like I said in the top of the hour. No, wait, I'm not. This is not radio. I'm covering. I think I wrote it backwards. Northlanders, lacrosse, and the hammer. And you know, slight side note, tangent. Sometimes in my iPod, I put it on shuffle and it's just random MC Hammer song. That first album. I think it's that first album I have. Maybe the second. Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him. Which one's that one? Anyways. Very raunchy stuff, man. Some of those songs, I'm like, wow, that was... Because you're like, so we pray. Pray! And then you hear some of the other songs, you're like, whoa. Alright, so this book is by Brian Wood and Ryan Kelly. Let me give you a summary. It'll take 5 seconds. Nah, I'm being facetious. Probably take a little longer. But it goes like this. There's this guy. He fights all these other guys. And he kills them. And he fights them some more. And he kills them. And he's dragging his daughter throughout it. And he's killing everyone that works for the king. And then trying to hunt him down. And then he kills them some more and they get closer. But then they capture him. And then there's a twist at the end. And then he dies. The end. Thank you, everybody. That's pretty much how the book went. Now, if you want me to get specific. So, Magnus is the guy doing all the killing in his one-man uprising. And he's dragging it. He's dragging his daughter, Brigid. See, it's spelled weird, but it might be pronounced differently. Brigid. I'm going with Brigid. And then the American saying. And then Lord Ragnar is trying to find him. So, there's all this killing throughout. Whatever. It really is 90% action. Which, we're covering detail in a bit. So then at the end, they capture Magnus. And then torture him a bit. And years have passed. And then suddenly you see his daughter, Brigid. And this is a bit disconcerting because you're like, well, how long have they captured and tortured him? Because I looked at him, well, he should have a beard and look probably weaker from malnutrition. No, it looks the same. Are they just fucking with him? But then you see his daughter. And then apparently, years ago, his daughter, Brigid, left him and then got married, right? And so, Magnus has been capturing, taking, kidnapping, dragging along, I don't know, other girls that are probably around mid to early teenagers. They look pretty hot. Maybe, probably like 15, 16, whatever. Yeah, that sounded wrong. So Brigid is older. She can be in like her late teens, 20s. It's very, when dealing with this subject, all these types of fantasy. Oh, well, this is, I suppose, realistic fantasy. But you know what I mean. Women and men. Adult lives started sooner, and they had to mature, but then the way they look, but then it's drawn by a modern guy, so who knows? I mean, yeah. I don't know. Besides, it's not like they draw ugly people in comics, unless they're trying to make a point. So yeah, she, the real Brigid, comes to talk to him when they finally have him cornered, and then they have this big, heartfelt, drawn-out, quote-unquote heartfelt, drawn-out scene, and she told him that he left because of him. I guess he either blamed Brigid for the mother's death, because the mother died in childbirth. I forgot it was either consciously or subconsciously, or that might have been what she picked up. Which he totally acts different around the persons you think are the real Brigid, so. Right, well, she does convince him, and she's still angry with him, and then he resigns, and then goes out of the cave, and then they kill him. the end. Now, I don't know where to start. I'll start with what I wrote down. Alright. Now, I know Brian Wood's big name. I guess. I don't know. He's big, I suppose. I don't really know names. And I'm just now getting to read his books. Well, now that I have, maybe I could try to see if I can get an interview. Who knows? So, but I have no idea of his history or how long he's been in the game. I don't know what his connections are. I basically know nothing about the man or what kind of dirt he has on people. So, I say all that because every book of his I've read so far has damn fine art. Forget the art who was in the Northlanders, and that had good art. And DMZ had good art. And this, The Cross and the Hammer, also has good art. Ryan Kelly is redonkulous. He does an excelente job in depicting the images in detail. And all sorts of the realistic violence and wounds that happen. And there's plenty for him to draw. Plenty action. Action, 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 action. Now, despite the fact... So, Wood, whomever you hiring, keep doing it. Actually, I think I haven't read Demo. Is it Becky Cloonan? Cloonan. She's probably the weakest of the artists I've seen. And even her art's pretty good. I want to say. I've seen images. I could be wrong. But she also has a different style. So Northlanders is really quick, really thick, but it reads really quickly, because as I mentioned before, there's action, and more action. Now, maybe this is why, it's very similar to why Iron Man suffered. There was nothing but action. But unlike Iron Man, where some of the action didn't make much sense or was drawn out a little too long, this action didn't make sense, but it was still drawn out too long. Well, I guess it's similar. Well, whatever. Because of all the action, while it's entertaining, it lacks build up. Because you're doing all this in... It doesn't say on the back. I don't know. However many issues. Maybe 5, maybe 6. Lacks build up, it lacks emotional conflict, and it lacks tension because Magnus kicks everyone's ass, including Dogs. He just tears them apart with his bare hands and loses arrows at people and chops them up and beats them down and stabs them and slices and dices and makes French fries. Now, DMZ is far different from Northlanders. I don't know if it's better. In fact, I'd be hard-pressed to say it's not. It's newer. It is what I feared it to be when I had co-hosts and we talked about this. I'm starting to see the pattern. Because of the limitations that Wood has imposed upon himself... of the geography, especially the geography, the time period, I don't mind, and even the issues, because they all seem to be about people, maybe the first two seem to be about rebellions and wars and people taking over. Stuff's just going to get repeated, and I can't, it's fine, plot, whatever. But, characters, especially when it's like 90% action. I wish I got time to know the characters. Because then I might care for them, or I might hate them. Instead, I was just like, And then there was more violence, more action, more violence, more action. Which, if you like violence and action in comics, you'll fucking love Northlanders, right away. Now... I'm going to compare Northlanders to what I read last week in Crossing Midnight. Crossing Midnight was much longer and deeper read, even though physically it's smaller. I mean, I just can't. Just blood. It wasn't like Ryan Kelly earned his paycheck here. Brian Wood did not, but Ryan Kelly, very detailed. There wasn't like 2-page splashes as there was in, say, World War Hulk or anything like that. It was just like panel, a whole action panel, small panel. It's like Brian Kelly put in work, right? Brian Wood, not so much. Funny, I opened it up to like a 1-page splash. Or is it just a 1-page? Who knows? I kind of want to know more about Ryan Kelly. Unfortunately, he probably has a really common name. So Google won't help much, but yeah, there's none of that, because it is from the writer of DMZ and Demo, Brian Wood. Yeah, illustrated by Ryan Kelly. So if he had other stuff, I would probably give it a go. Now, while I'm not one to harp on predictable plots, because they're really not that important, especially to someone like me who can predict the future, I'm actually going to harp on it in here. Because it was because of the twist. It's because of the twist. It was like you had a simple, really simple, rather boring action-filled story for the entire trade, and then you come to the quote-unquote twist at the end. But it's not like The Sixth Sense or Book of Eli or something where you're like, whoa, I didn't see that coming, but the clues are actually there, and it's built up, because there's none of that. And you're like, oh, I mean, if I had cared about Bridget, or had seen the reaction of the other Bridget, yeah, that was probably the letdown. Like, I might have cared about that. If I had seen the twist, I was like, oh, older Bridget is upset and emotional, the Magnus is down. But then it's like I wanted to get a point of view of the quote-unquote fake Bridgets, or maybe a page or two of flashbacks of why or how he was taking other girls, or were they voluntarily going with him. And then, or if like the newer one was like, I told you I wasn't your daughter and blah blah blah, but I'm with you because it's a dangerous country and please just take me away, any of that. And I was like, no. So, because I have a character who I haven't seen in the first 90% of the book, Pavanep at the end, and giving her spiel, but if I had seen her, it was okay. But it was the other one, who I spent more time with, who should have said something. Did she say anything? I'm going to just flip through. No, she didn't say anything. It's like, wow. That was like a wasted opportunity, I thought. So now that I've read 2 books of Norlanders, and maybe Rebecca's listening. Rebecca, if you're listening. Well, she texted me yesterday, and then I told her I was covering this. She may come back for a little as a visitor, guest, or whatever. But I told her I was covering this, and she's like, you just don't get it, Mark. I'm like, haha, I know I do. No, I think I do get it now. I think I get what Wood is trying to do. I also understand that it's very hard, and I'm not sure if Wood is up to the task. That's not to lambaste his writing ability. I, myself, am trying something new with my writing ability. And that is also very hard. So I respect him in that an aspect. But I don't know. Strangely enough, Northlanders does remind me of the Twilight Zone. Minus the message. Because every trade, Wood writes a new story with new characters. Huge problem. Same plot. Not so good. Now, while Twilight Zone had a great message, great acting, and great twists, and great stories, Northlanders has great art. Yeah, that's about it, really. It doesn't have a message. It doesn't have great storytelling. It doesn't have great characters, because as soon as I get to know them, the story's over. Like, I kind of wanted to know more about Magnus at the last issue. Yeah, look, you're dead. So, yeah. Now, that's not to say I dislike the premise, as I said all that. Geographical location of side, I do like the premise of Northlanders. I like what Wood's trying to do by telling different stories every X amount of issues, or every trade, right? I just wish there was... I wish there was less action, more build-up and characterization. And you have the action and revelation on the last two issues, maybe three issues, probably two though. Actually, Northlanders kind of reminds me of the Sandman, where every other trade seemed to be a collection or one collection of short stories and have nothing to do with the main plot and introduce new characters. Northlanders kind of seems like that, but there was still an overarching thing for the Sandman. And I always forget, do I like the collections of short stories? Maybe I do, just to get away from Dream. I don't know. Now, I may get the next trade. Because on InStockTrades.com, where you can save 37% off on all your orders and free shipping over $50. This show is not sponsored by InStockTrades.com. I would like it to be, but, you know, I haven't bothered trying. I may get the next trade because, as I looked, it deals with Viking women. And that sounds intriguing. But I may just wait till I go to a convention, get a 50% off. And if any of you read it and could explain to me the title, because I don't get it. The Cross and the Hammer. No, I really don't. Let me see. Nothing on the cover. Okay. There's a cross on Magnus. Oh yeah, there was a cross at the end who Bridget, she didn't take, she left in the cave when he died and took it off. But that meant nothing to me. Because it wasn't explained why. It wasn't showing that he was a religious man. He just wanted revenge. And he was the hammer. It probably would have been more accurate if it was the cross and the sword. The cross and my bare hands. My cross and my teeth. Cross and my fists. Cross and the sword would have made more sense. I'm giving this trade because I really love the Ryan Kelly art. Although there was no nudity. That was a bit disappointing. I really love the art. I'm giving it a 3. The more I talk about it, I want to give it a 2. It's not that bad. No, I'm giving it a 2. I changed my mind. I'm giving it a 2. Because of the art, this is very let down. But, I don't know, maybe you could decide. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. I appreciate it. Let me some feedback. On iTunes, if I don't choke here. Next week's review will be Testament Babar. I'm going to say Babar. Babar? That's the elephant, though. Right? Yeah. Comments, questions, suggestions, email me at vertigocast@gmail.com. Go to thecomicforums.com to see what's coming up. Visit the website at vforvertigo.blogspot.com. Follow me on Twitter, Hellsfire. And remember... Who would have thought the Suns might sweep the Spurs tonight? See what happens if you play some defense and rebounding? Goran Dragic. Go, Suns.
And like that,